perfect and complete. Oh, and lacking nothing. There I am. You know, those last 2.5 years, really, this verse has shown me that letting patience have its perfect work. It's not without going through the refiner's fire that you can get this revelation. And, you know, 2017, I started out on a venture knowing that there wasn't something right inside of me. There was so much pain and guilt and shame. I felt like a leopard standing on the outside. I didn't know how to fit in until one Sunday early in January, Diane Braun came with Embracing Options and shared about the sanctity of life. And I had had an abortion over 30 years ago, and the guilt and the shame, I never told a soul, except for my friend Kim knew. I went through it alone and never talked about it again. And so I wanted to serve there, knowing that if I could prevent one young lady from going through the pain that I went through, that it was worth it. Because in 1 Corinthians, it says that God comforts us so we can go out and comfort others with the comfort that he's given to us. Lo and behold, that I did not know that I needed healing. So I was sobbing in the office, and Diane's like, "Don, you need to go through the Ladies' Pace course first." I'm like, "Okay, well, you know, I want to do this, so I'm doing it." Lo and behold, that's what I needed. I met Cheryl, and for the first 4 classes, I sobbed. And the Lord healed me. He set me free, and it was a miracle. On my birthday that year is the night that I was able to honor my daughter. And what the most beautiful, precious gift, birthday gift ever. I'll never forget that night. My husband was there, and Jackie and Anita came alongside, and I was just so blessed that I could honor my daughter. So I was ready. So when we had our follow-up meeting in July, and Cheryl was like, "Hey, Don, hey, ladies, we need facilitators," I felt my hand. Here I am, send me. I was so grateful for that. I was also expecting my niece, Caroline. On August 11th, sorry, I was at camp. I used to be the shepherd for the young girls. And this year, preparing before I knew any of this, I was teaching the girls, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever in our heart, when we're pressed or we're pushed, out it comes. So me and the girls that week, we're talking about things that defile our hearts, how we can get rid of it, and it's only by the blood of Jesus. And so Friday, it was my last teaching, and by noon, I haven't heard, "Where's Caroline? How is she? What's going on?" No one's gotten hold of me. I've been waiting all week for this day. I knew Cindy was going in the morning, so why haven't I heard? So I texted my mom, and she was born, not breathing. She was in the NICU, and we didn't know. I'm in the cafeteria, and I started crying, and now I have to go teach. So my friends prayed for me, and out I went, and all these little faces. I had 50 young girls. "Miss Dawn, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" And I said, "Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So I told them that my niece was born not breathing, and she's in the NICU, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with her. And the girls prayed, and then we started sharing verses. I mean, with a bunch of 8-year-olds, how beautiful is that, that these girls were out of the abundance of their mouths. They were sharing their favorite verses with me, encouraging me. And so it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And I was so grateful. Well, I got home, and Caroline had a rare heart disease that only 5 babies a year in the whole United States get, but it was a very easily fixed situation. So my sweet little niece, we started praying. Doug and I went down after church one day, and he laid his hand over her heart, and he prayed, and God answered. She went through her open heart surgery with flying colors. She was able to leave 9 days instead of 2 weeks after, and she was a miracle. I was so excited. There was something so special about this little girl. She would just look at you and like she knew you and she was memorizing you. And we were also grateful to see God's hand at work in her life and for the answered prayer. Well, the beginning of November, I'm really busy at work during this time because we're trying to make all these laws pass. And, you know, my brother needed a babysitter. I'm like, I'll babysit. I'm never, ever, ever going to turn down. Sorry, ladies, if you have plans with me, but to spend time with those kids. And I'm so grateful I did because, you know, it gave me a chance to spend a few hours alone with my niece. She was doing well. Doug and I tried to make every opportunity to hang with her because I knew she saw Jesus. She had to be on a heart, you know, her heart had to stop. And I knew that my niece saw Jesus and I could see it in her. So she was 3 months old and we, Brenny was at daycare and it was just me and Caroline. And that little girl loved Jesus because I would hold her and she would just look at me like she was trying to memorize me. And I started singing, Jesus Loves You. And she, at 3 months old, her little hands were going and she was smiling and dancing. And I'm like, well, that's strange. Well, let me sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And she looked at me like, and Dawn, let's worship Jesus. I'm ready. I'm like, okay, honey. So we were singing all these worship songs together. And, you know, she fell asleep in my arms. And I'm like, one day, me and you are going to talk. And you're going to tell me about Jesus. Well, a week later, my mom calls me and she says, they're on the way to the hospital. Something's wrong. So on my knees, I go again. Thursday night, well, Friday morning that week, at 4 a.m., my mom texts me. Caroline had coded twice that night. They brought her back. And it's going to be a long road. Don, it's really serious. We need to get the prayer warriors involved. I said, okay. So as many people as I know, I sent it out. And I labored day and night. You know, we did the study Habakkuk. And the verse one, oh, Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? I mean, I didn't sleep. All I did was pray. Lord, please. Help her. We'd go up to the hospital. My brother didn't want us to see her because any germ we brought in, you know, because her heart was, her chest was open because she was on the echo machine. Her lungs were filled and her heart was barely beating. So they needed to give her rest so she could be healed. And so we'd go up to the hospital a couple times a week just to give my brother a break and, you know, see him, try to watch my nephew. Never once did I doubt. I went to the throne room of grace every day in faith that he was going to heal my niece. One day, Doug and I were praying for her, and it's the stupidest thing to get mad at your husband for, but he prayed God's will. I never prayed God's will. I just prayed for healing because that's what my heart desire was. But I got mad at him for praying God's will. I mean, come on, this is how wicked my heart is. And we fought over that. I actually had to get up and leave the room. I was so angry with him. How dare you pay God's will? I mean, I wasn't in my right mind. Thanksgiving came and we made a plate and for Jason and Cindy and went up. And Jay came, they were with the doctors, and they came down and said that she had developed blood clots in her hands and her feet, and the only way they were going to have to start amputating, and my brother's like, I am not going to start tearing my daughter apart. And I just was praying, Lord, I didn't want my brother to have to make the decision to shut her machines down. So we left the hospital pretty, I wasn't sure, So I spent the whole night praying, and the next morning, praise God, everything was cleared up. The blood clots had left her. Her cardiac surgeons, like, I don't know what they saw yesterday, but they're gone. He goes, her heart is healing. Her lungs are clearing. You know, I'm going to spend the day with her. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I see your hand. I'm just going to keep praying. You know, I had all the hope in the world. Saturday morning, on the 25th, my mom called all of us and says, your brother wants you at the hospital right away. I was scared, but I still did not doubt the Lord. I mean, he wasn't going to do all this to then take her home now. And I waited. And it wasn't until Jason and Cindy came down and my brother came out first. And so I started walking towards him. And then my sister-in-law came out, and the cry she let out, I will never forget. Caroline was gone. I was in shock. What do you mean, Lord? I still came to the hospital knowing that you could heal. Why didn't you answer my prayers? The next day was Brennan's birthday, and so we got together and celebrated. And I think Monday it finally hit me. The Lord let me down. I got mad at God, and I'll stand here and tell you that I am ashamed at that, but I was infuriated with God. Why? I didn't lack faith. I had the faith of a mustard seed. I asked, and I saw, and there was no doubt, you can move this mountain, Lord. Why didn't you? I shut my Bible, and that was it. I was walking away. I wasn't going to come back. How can I trust when you took? She was only 3.5 months old. I didn't know what I was going to do because I now didn't feel the Lord's presence. And I've always encouraged myself in the Lord. I've always stood on his promises. I'm a brat. I like to pray his promises back to him to remind him of these things. What am I going to do? One day, I was sitting quietly with my Bible next to me, slammed shut, because I was not picking it up again. And then the Lord reminded me about a story in John where, you know, he was telling them about the bread and the cup, about his body and his blood. He was introducing the communion. And a lot of the people started walking away from him. And so Jesus looked at the 12 apostles and he goes, are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, Lord, where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And it hit me that day, Lord, where am I going to go? I've tasted and seen that you are good. I can't live. I've lived my life without you. How I got to live my life with you. How in the world am I going to get back? And then, out of obedience, I just picked up my Bible, and I couldn't receive it, but I was hiding his word in my heart. And then I remembered in Deuteronomy where the Lord says, they're in a crossroads. I was in a crossroads. On one side, choose life. On the other side, choose death. Blessings or curses. Make my life better or let bitterness enter in. And I told the Lord that day, Lord, I choose life. I choose you, but I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to make it back. How am I going to trust all those promises? I mean, that I've stood on my whole walk. Lord, how am I going to do that? And he just loved me. And what happened is I couldn't even receive people sharing scripture with me at that point because I was still just so raw and upset about it. The word of God didn't encourage me, and it always has in the past. But the Lord sent people to love me with his love in my life. I remember one night we were sitting here, and I couldn't worship, and I love to worship the Lord. I love to sing and love to pray. I couldn't do any of those things for a long time, but I remember one night The Lord, I was sitting here and they sang that song, I Praise You in the Storm, and all I could do is sob because I couldn't praise the Lord in the midst of my sorrow. But God, I love that verse in the Bible. But God, I try to circle it every time I see it. But God, He put it on Jackie's heart to come over, and she just held me and she worshiped for me. And I could start feeling my heart change. Okay, Lord, we can do this. We can do this together. I needed to start my training for embracing options so I could do the PACE course. And so the Lord started showing me how working in with these women, watching the Lord heal. He brought women who were broken in shame and filled with guilt like I was. And I was watching him heal. So the first PACE course, I kind of was an observer, and I tried the best I could. I tried really hard not to sob through most of them, but the Lord was healing me as well. And he brought back to my remembrance, you know, because I couldn't understand why Caroline was born that way. And the Lord then reminded me, Psalm 139 is like my favorite psalm. Doug and I have it engraved in our wedding rings. It's both of ours, but in it, it says, you know, where can we go from God? We can't go anywhere. We go down into the depths. He was going to find us, and he's going to love us there. If we go and hide in a cave, guess what? He's right there. You know, he says that he forms our inward parts when we're in our mother's womb. So this was not a surprise. Caroline was born with a birth defect because that's how God created her. One of my favorite parts of Psalm 139 is it says that, you know, we praise him because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but all of our days are written in his book before we're even born. So my niece, her testimony was short. You know, her testimony was done in 3.5 months. She made an impact on me, and I want to live my life now to honor God because I know that she saw him, and I know that she was in his hand, and I know God is good. In his word, he says, you know, Mark 7:37, and he always used that, God is good. God does all things well, and he does, even though we can't see it. You know, Jackie said this verse before we started, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My evening time, it's been a long, long road, but joy is coming, and the Lord is showing me that. You know, one of the things that I struggled with after I was okay and I was back in the Word and the Lord was ministering to me is listening to people's prayers. I was really ashamed about it, and my heart, I hated to hear people do prayer praise reports when the Lord healed somebody because it still brought back a lot of rawness. And I'm like, Lord, I love hearing how God works in people's hearts and lives. I don't want my heart to become hard every time I hear someone praise you for healing because you didn't heal Caroline the way I wanted you to. God healed her. She's in heaven. She's dancing on streets of gold. I mean, she's cast her crowns. I mean, and she's waiting. When I enter in, Caroline will be on one side and Joey Ann, my daughter, will be on the other, and they will bring me to the feet of Jesus so I can cast my crowns too. I will be able to hear about and experience Jesus, not the way I thought, but I'll be able to do it in glory with them. So I needed to have my heart changed so I could not let it get hard when I was hearing everybody pray. So I just kept praying and asking the Lord to change my heart. And he had to really just show me, you know, Dawn, you know, her life, she did what she did. She finished her testimony. And I needed to continue moving on. I know we did a Bible study here in January shortly after Caroline died in Habakkuk. And 3:1 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. If the Lord takes everything from me, I still have him. And I will rejoice, and I can rejoice in the Lord. I made it through the first year, and almost a year to the day of Caroline being rushed into the emergency room, my whole company was brought over to the convention center. And I'm a very positive person, so, you know, everyone was very fearful. And I'm like, oh, no, you know, we're going to be okay. No, we weren't going to be okay. They announced that they were closing our doors, and most of us were losing our jobs. But, God, what I went through the year before, my faith was growing and I was strong. Even though I was emotional and I cry at commercials. So, you know, I cry almost at everything. There was peace inside of me. Whatever was going to happen was God's hand. I was okay. I could feel the peace inside of me. And this one he gave me, Psalm 27, 13, and 14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer, courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I had to wait 3 months to find out whether or not I was going to get one of the coveted work-from-home positions. But I waited on the Lord, and I tried to encourage myself in him. I saw the work that he had done in my life. I didn't think I was ever going to get back. I know I came up several times up front to prayer, crying and asking Pastor Dan, how in the world am I going to ever be able to get back to where I was? And he would just encourage me, God's got you, Don. And he did. And he did bring me back to a place where I can rejoice. I can stand on the promises. One thing that has changed in my life through this all is the way I pray. I pray for healing, for those who need healing. I pray for God, but I pray, Lord, please give me the courage and to the strength to accept your will in my life. You know, because he's going to do what he does. And he always does things well. And I trust him. You know, we not to lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all our ways, and he shall direct our paths. I never wanted bitterness to ever enter into my heart, because not only does it defile me, but it defiles everybody else around you. We have to be so careful for that. Another set of verses that really got me through my second year of waiting to see what was going to happen to my job, saying goodbye to all my coworkers, waiting for my nephew. Jason and Cindy got pregnant really soon after Caroline died, and I was waiting for my sweet little Miles to be born on October 9th of 2018. He's now a year old. And you know, that was a scary time because we didn't know if he was going to be born with the same heart defect, because you can't tell in ultrasounds. You know, I wanted my brother and sister-in-law to have peace. And I knew that this little baby was going to bring healing back into their lives as well. But in Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, it says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Every week for months, I would come home in tears because I had to say goodbye to more of my friends. I know we could keep in touch, but it's not the same. But I know that God called me my name. I know that he was with me when I was walking through those waters. I know that God was refining me in the refiner's fire. And my faith today is stronger than it ever has been. I trust the Lord. I can blindly go out. Lord, whatever your will for my life is, I accept it. I love the story of Mary when she was told about carrying Jesus. And after the angel had talked to her, all she could say is, "Behold, I am your maidservant. Let it be unto me according to your will, Lord." And I want to be that woman. Lord, let it be unto me according to your will. No matter what I go through, how painful it is, you are never going to leave me and you're never going to forsake me. First Peter says, "But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." I suffered. It seems like this mourning has gone on for 2.5 years, but I would not change one tear, one heartache, anything that I've gone through, because it's now made me the woman I am today. I see God work all the time. I'm so blessed to be able to watch the Lord in the Pace Course heal broken women and set them free from their shame. Lord, you did that for me. I want to just end with this verse, Jude 24. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory in exceeding joy." And I just want to encourage you, ladies, that if you are at a crossroads, you might not have had a battle with the Lord and angry at him like I was, but if you're angry at someone else or someone who's hurt you or whatever, and you're at that crossroads, choose life. Choose his blessings. Choose letting it make you better instead of bitter, because I can tell you, even though it hurts and you don't think you can bear underneath the pain, God will get you through. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will heal that pain. And he will send people to raise up your arms or even worship for you if you need them to. And so he's good. He's a good, faithful father. And I guess that's all I want to say. So you can turn me off. And can you play my last song? Thank you.